Everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of Goodell Fellas. Thank you, as always, for listening in. We are going to start today's episode a little bit differently, and I hope that's okay, because you're really, what you're doing is you're allowing me to vent. So if I'm way off the base here and way off the mark on my little tangent I'm about to go off of, please feel free to fast forward. We'll have plenty of more content later in the podcast, but I want to start off today talking about the rule change that has taken place this year, which is reviewing PI or not PI, depending on the situation. Going into this season, I felt like this rule was just a bad idea, and I was so against it. The NFL promised, however, heading into the season, that the calls would only be overturned if they were clear and obvious. If it was clear and obvious pass interference, like the Saints-Rams game last year, those are the types of calls or non-calls that are going to get overturned. The rest, not even touching, right? And they promised it wouldn't slow the game down. Well, I got to tell you, folks, it's slowing the game down. I watched a lot of the Steelers-Seahawks game this week on Sunday afternoon, and there were two challenges in that game alone. I know there were several other challenges. There was a challenge in the Falcons-Eagles game on Sunday Night Football. These types of plays would not be obviously reviewed in the past, because it couldn't be, and there was no other play in that game that warranted being reviewed. So coaches are just throwing challenge flags out there and just challenging these plays just for the sake of it, and it is slowing the game down. But that's really not what irks me. What irks me is the lack of clarity in this rule already. We have seen so many calls get overturned that should not have been, and calls that should have been overturned, not overturned. And it is absolutely a mess. And I think because of the distractions going on around the league, from the Antonio Brown saga to everything happening in Miami to now Jalen Ramsey wanting to be traded, it's kind of not being pushed to the forefront. But I'm telling you, as the season goes on, unless they fix this issue, you're going to be hearing about this rule nonstop. And I think it's going to rear its ugly head late in the season in an impact game, a playoff indication type game, or game, I should say, which has playoff implications, like we saw several years ago with Jesse James, the Steelers tight end, against the Patriots in 2017, that ultimately helped the Patriots secure the number one seed and allowed them to go on to the Super Bowl and lose, whereas the Steelers had to get the 2 seed and play a much tougher Jacksonville Jaguars team in that divisional round rather than the Tennessee Titans. I'm not saying the Steelers would have made it to the Super Bowl had they secured that number one seed, but we all know that was a touchdown, and that was looking like the Steelers were most likely going to end up with that one seed because of it. I think, if I'm remembering correctly, they might have even officially clinched if they would have won that game. I don't remember for sure, but I know it definitely had a huge impact, and that is what allowed, or that was what finally caused the NFL to amend the catch rule. That was the last straw, because it was on primetime television, everyone saw it, everyone was talking about it, and that was kind of the straw that broke the camel's back, so to speak. And I'm afraid we're going to see that this year. I think we're going to see a call with not a lot of clarity get overturned in a major game, and it's going to be a big controversy, and it's really not going to be progressing the league forward like it needs to. Really, the bottom line is the refs just need to be better, and that's it. And they need to come up with a more clear, they don't need reviewable pass interference, they need a more clear distinction as to what pass interference is, because every single week it seems to change. Every single week it's called differently. In the Steelers game, one of the penalties, or one of the plays that was challenged, was actually overturned, and it was a huge, huge momentum play in the game, because it allowed the Seahawks to go down 35 yards about down the field into deep into Steelers territory, which then allowed them, just two plays after that, to score a touchdown to DK Metcalf, which put them up 9 when they only had a 2-point lead up to that point, and it was not called pass interference on the field. It looked like there was definitely contact, but was it clear and obvious? I don't think so. And I just think it's incredibly hypocritical for a league so hell-bent on clear and obvious You see so many times plays where you can just tell, all right, he's over the goal line, but you can't see the ball because there's a bunch of bodies in the way. Well, we can't overturn it because it's not clear and obvious. Or, yeah, he probably dropped that football, but you can't really tell for sure, so we can't overturn it because it's clear and obvious. But now you're doing this just kind of free willy-nilly with pass interference. It's a bad look. I hope they get it right. I hope it gets more consistent as the weeks go on. And what I want is you guys to comment in the Facebook group below this when I share this link, this podcast link. I would like to hear your thoughts and opinions on this. Maybe I'm just on an island here. Maybe I'm way off base. Maybe I'm just feeling too strongly about it. I don't know. I don't like it. I would like to hear your thoughts and opinions, whether it's for or against it, just so I can kind of gauge to see where I am on the spectrum. That'd be great. But that's enough of that. Thank you for letting me get off my soapbox. Thank you for letting me do that. And now I'll get off my soapbox is what I want to say. I'm a little flustered. What I was thinking about right there was the force out rule. I was going to say this is the dumbest rule since the force out rule. And it's funny because every single year, Chris Collinsworth, he's already done it once this year, by the way, he did it in preseason, not during the regular season yet. But every single year, Chris Collinsworth, if you watch Sunday Night Football, I promise you, a receiver's going to go up, catch a ball in the air, and get shoved out of bounds and land out of bounds, incomplete. And I promise you, Chris Collinsworth's going to say, now remember, folks, the force out rule is no longer in effect, so this is perfectly legal. It's a smart play by the defensive back. And it just cracks me up because the force out rule has not been a rule since 2007. And no one in the NBC crew apparently has told him, like, hey, Chris, you know, you don't really need to remind people that rule that hasn't been in effect for 12 years, you don't really need to remind them that it's not in effect anymore. They kind of just get it. They know. No one is watching that going, oh, man, good thing there's a force out rule. Oh, that's right. It's not 2007. That's right. It's over a decade ago. So pretty soon, Chris Collinsworth's going to be like, oh, they passed the football. Remember, you can pass the football now. Remember, they had to change it when all those dudes in the 20s were breaking their necks because they were throwing human bodies around like tennis balls or medicine balls. They were just chucking dudes over that offensive line and people were dying. So they made it legal to pass. Remember that. It's not the 1920s anymore. All right. You're watching on television. You're watching me on a television that isn't a radio. So, oh, God. So, but yeah. Now I'll get off my soapbox. I had to get it off my chest. I already feel so much better. Thanks for that. Let's jump in. Week 2 was a very strange week. Only one team in Week 2 put up more than 250 points, and that team was Fires of the Nightman with 282. And I'm not trying to toot my own horn here. I'm just saying it because this is the first time that this has happened since Week 6 of the 2017 season where Selena led the league in scoring that week with 257.5 points. Everyone else was below 250 points that week. So this is the first time in, it's not quite two full years, but I mean, we've had, it's getting close to almost two full years since this has happened. It's a very weird kind of phenomena. Week 1, it felt like guys kind of exploded, and you saw guys like Sammy Watkins go off. That was kind of, I don't want to say random, but kind of random, honestly. It's kind of weird because we went from an explosion of points to almost no points around the league. And now a lot of teams were in the 240 range. That's a very solid week. So it's not like there was no points to be had. There were plenty of points to be had. It just wasn't enough to propel anybody to that typical winning mark of the 250s, 260s, and above range. I mean, Arlo's team put up 317 week one. And now here we are. 282 is a very good week. And that might lead scoring in a lot of weeks, sure. But when no one else is even close to that, it's very strange. It's a very weird feeling. So we had a lot of kind of strange scores around the league. We had a lot of teams. Even Fires of Nightman, my team, I had two guys put up 0 points and still finished with 282. It was weird. It was a weird week. But in this weird week, Eric finally slayed the dragon, took down Wade. Wade was favored by 32.5 points. We'll talk a little bit about that more later because Eric is going to be our guest joining us today. We'll have him on shortly after this. Seth, he moved to 2-0. He's already matched his win total from last season. Last season, he finished 2-11. 2 weeks in, he's already 2-0. His team is looking solid. It looks like it's got a lot of talent and a lot of longevity to compete to maybe make the playoffs this year. All right, that's not, it's no longer just, wishful thinking. He's here and he's legit. Gruden's pain is my gain. It's looking pretty good here to start the season. And the Pilatos are a combined 5-1 to start. Rocco and Brett 2-0, Eric 1-1. We'll talk a little bit more about that with Eric later on. So let's move on to week 3 now. Now listen, when this is being recorded, it's a Tuesday right now. A lot of things can change. We have injuries, we have potential trades, and then obviously we have the waiver wire. So lineups are going to change drastically from now until Thursday night when the Jaguars and Titans game kicks off, and then certainly by Sunday afternoon when the rest of the games kick off. So these lines are going to change. So that's my disclaimer. But right now, it's shaping up to be, if you believe in projections, the best week in league history and the closest week in league history. The largest spread is 6.5 points. That's the biggest line out of any of the games. So let's run through these real quick. Gruden's pain is my gain is taking on Fires of the Nightman. Fires of the Nightman are favored by 0.5 point. It's essentially a push. It's going to be a very close matchup, and I think we've seen Fires of the Nightman put up a solid week one, but not enough to win. And then week two, obviously, much different, which kind of went opposite with everyone else's trend. So a little bit interesting there. Then we have Team Eric Pilato taking on Cundiff Clutch. Cundiff Clutch is favored by 6.5 points. We saw Team Eric Pilato put up 317 points week one, though. I mean, that's a lot of points. And week two, still solid performance. I don't think a dud by any means. So, and they kind of clutch. You know, I just had the unfortunate situation of having to play the team that put up the most points week two. And that's where that loss came from. So these are two very good teams, two very solid teams that I think have playoff potential. You hear me say this a lot about a lot of these teams. I think there are a lot of teams that do have playoff potential this year. I think it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out once bye weeks come into play and more people get injured. I think that'll be interesting, more trades take place. But as of right now, there's a lot of teams that I think are going to genuinely compete for that at least 3 and 4 spot. So, yeah, I mean, we might get to the end of the season and have 4 teams fighting for 2 spots, 5 teams even fighting for 2 spots. We kind of see that every year, but I think that there's this year it's going to be even closer race where a points tiebreaker may even come into play if things pan out the way they're looking now. So very good matchup to keep your eye on. Next we'll go self-professed Cat Dad and Lucky Helmet. 2-0-2 teams desperately need of a win. Helmet is favored by 1.5 points. So not quite a push, but close. And, you know, Cat Dad had a rough week last week, 177 points. They are going to be looking for any type of scoring that they can get. Like I said, scoring was down around the league last week, so that's at least a silver lining for Cat Dad. But definitely need something to happen here against Lucky Helmet. Lucky Helmet, you know, Nick has been proven in the past that he believes in his team. He's willing to be patient with his team, but at the same time be aggressive and make trades while being patient. I know that sounds kind of backwards, but he'll make trades for right now, which is aggressive, but he's patient with his team. He's not going to be selling the roster anytime soon. And I think this is a team where if he can get on the right track, finally get in the win column this week, you know, in 2, 3, 4 weeks, you're going to see him make a trade similar like he did last year for Devontae Adams. That was a trade that benefited him last season and for the future. And I think that's kind of what you're going to look for him to do. He's going to make a big trade without giving up a lot or too much and without giving up future draft capital either. So he's a team owner to keep an eye on, especially if he does not end up in the win column this week. That type of trade is going to come sooner rather than later. I'm speculating maybe week 4 around that window. If he's 1-3, he might try to make a trade then, might try to make a splash then, because it's hard to recover from 1-3. It's been done before, but it's difficult and you need some help. So that's when I think you'd see that trade come. And the reason I say keep an eye out for that and something to keep an eye on is just because it changes the landscape of the league anytime those types of trades happen. You see one team get better, you see one team regress, or you'll see both teams kind of flatline if the trade didn't really work out for either of them. So it has potential to shift the league. It has potential to shift kind of what some of the projections are. So keep an eye on that. Like I said, the big matchup this week, actually, I don't know that I mentioned it yet, but I'm going Quinsane versus Straight Cash Homie. It's a Pilato Brothers powwow going down. We will talk about that with Eric, but Brett is favored by 6.5 points, which is interesting. His team's very solid, off to a very solid start. Seems to have a lot of talent on that roster, so 6.5 is the line there. And then finally, Fourth of Niners versus Dirty Monkeys, the final Pilato to talk about this week. Rocco is actually an underdog. Fourth and Niners are favored by 2.5 points. I think it's surprising to see that considering Dirty Monkeys are off to 2-0. But look, I think that Wade's team is very talented. It just hasn't quite come together like it needs to yet, and for whatever reason. And I think that the ESPN stat projections are showing that sentiment. They seem to also believe that his team will turn it on. It's just a matter of when. So I think that's the reasoning behind, and that's why you're seeing him favored in that matchup. But again, if you're going to be taking bets, I'm throwing money down on Rocco. Rocco, don't let me down. All right, you're going on to 3-0 this week. That's my bold prediction. So don't let me down there. But yeah, guys, feel free to hop in below. Let us know what your thoughts and opinions are on the rule change, and then also kind of on the bets this week and seeing all these close lines. If you have any bets, feel free to place those. We'll be right back very quick with Eric Pilato. All right, everybody. We are back with Eric Pilato as promised. Eric, thank you for taking the time to hop on the pod today with us. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm great. I am fired up to have you here. For the first time this season, we get you on nice and early. We already went over a lot about week 2 and week 3 earlier in this podcast, but I wanted to get some more details and perspective from you. First off, talking about beating Wade, you finally did it. He was favored by 32.5 points. You're a massive underdog. So not only did you kind of avenge last year's loss to him, but you also did it in a fashion which was very impressive. How good does it feel to finally get that monkey off your back?
It feels really good. There aren't too many teams in this league that have my number, but he is one that he always puts up a ton. I'm still mad at him last year for having George Kittle put up about 2 million points in the finals. I'm still mad. That's a tough pill to swallow. Also, I'm happy to stick it to you. I listened to last week's pod. You seemed pretty low on my team, putting up the lowest amount of points.
I did.
You seemed a little hesitant, and I'm happy to prove you and maybe the league wrong that week one was just not what my team's about.
And to be fair, I did say on that pod that you were going to bounce back, but it was hard after a 202-point performance for me to go against
that's
that.
True.
I fell trapped to the Vegas odds. I looked too much into the Vegas betting odds on that. That's my fault. So you're absolutely right on that. But I wanted to talk to you about the Pilatos are a combined 5-1 this year already, off to a hot start. You face Brett, which means the Pilatos are guaranteed one win and one loss, and then it's up to Rocco against Wade to see if he can get another win to improve that overall Pilato record. But last season, you were top dog amongst the Pilatos. You were the top finisher in that group. What right now you're in third out of three, but obviously it's just 2 weeks. They're 2-0. You're 1-1. You beat Brett. You'll already be tied this week. So obviously, I know you're not worried. But how good of a chance do you think you have to repeat this year?
I like my odds so far. I think I got a good chance versus Brett. I've had the most points scored against me in the fantasy season so far. I know it's only 2 weeks. I've had 551 scored against me.
That's
Brett,
a ton.
Brett has only 432 against him. So Brett may be a good team. We haven't really seen his team perform against the best. I think I can be one of the best again. So I'm going to be interested to see how he does against one of the league's better teams.
And I talked to you a little bit off air, and I mentioned it earlier on the podcast, but the line for that matchup against Brett is 6.5 points in favor of Brett. So it's projected to be close. Do you think it's going to be a close matchup, or do you think this is one where you can beat him pretty solidly?
There's one thing I've learned. I'll never beat my dad, and I'll never beat Brett by more than probably 15 points. It's always close. Your butthole always gets tight when you see them on the schedule. Like, there are some guys you're just like, I can have a few guys not show up this week. I'm looking at you, Josh Gordon, 3.5 points last week. I'm going to need a little. Everybody's going to have to give a little bit more, because against one of the league's best teams so far, you can't have bad performances.
Absolutely. And you mentioned guys like Josh Gordon. I have him in another league, so I feel your pain there.
Yeah.
How short is the leash for a guy like Josh Gordon with the addition of Antonio Brown? Obviously, we don't know what's going to happen
legally wise, like the legalities of all that whole mess. But right now he's playing, he's on the roster, and he's taking away targets from Gordon. How much longer do you leave him in the starting lineup? And if you get away from him, do you have a current player in mind on your roster right now that you feel comfortable substituting?
No, so the leash is very long. I just need him to make maybe two catches a game for 50 yards, because right now my backups are looking like Danny Amendola and Ted Ginn Jr., who I didn't even know was still in the league. So yeah, the leash is very long. Let's just hope he, you know, stays off a couple blunts. Let's just keep that away. And he's in. As long as he's not in jail, he will be in my lineup.
All right. Now, we know you're a very aggressive trader. Is this something where this season down the line, if you're even close to the playoffs, even if you're right around that 500 mark, will we see you trading future draft picks again this season, do you think? Or was that more of just a power play last year?
I think I'd be willing to trade draft picks, just probably not with Brett, because I traded for Emmanuel Sanders, whose knee immediately blew out. And then I traded for Rob Gronkowski, whose back proceeded to blow out and lead to do his retirement. So I don't think I'm going to trade any more future picks to Brett. Also, I want to defend – this wasn't one of the topics, but I want to defend my draft day trade.
Go for it. Absolutely.
Which brought in DJ Moore, who put up a nice 18-point performance. It also brought in Luke Kuechly, who dropped a mammoth 30-point performance. I forget the other scrub I got in the deal, but those two alone, I feel I can justify that trade for.
Yeah, no. And again, everyone – I feel like everyone understood – where you were coming from in terms of you had to build a roster, you had to get guys on your team. You're missing a lot of mid to high round draft picks there. So I think people understood it. I just think there's a lot of people that also thought, you know, when you see guys, I traded Adam Thielen for a first round pick after keepers, and I traded Wentz for a second and a sixth. So other people, I think what really got him was just the third round pick as the starter. And I think maybe is this a fair assumption? You mentioned that you didn't feel great about it either. You felt like you could have got more. Is that kind of the area where you felt like you could have got more, maybe just a round higher in a draft like this?
I feel like I maybe could have gotten a little more. I think also a lot of people are higher on Kamara than I am, because I had him all last year. In the first 4 weeks, he was great without Mark Ingram. But towards the end of the year when they started slowing down, now Drew Brees is hurt, so that might bring up his value. But I wasn't really high on him, because after that, he wasn't putting up a lot of great performances. So I think it was combined with everyone else was a little higher and I was a little lower. So that's where I feel I actually got good value in trying to build a team, because I knew I had Saquon to counteract that.
That's very interesting, and that's very good insight. It's good to definitely good to know that. I think that's something that probably not too many people would have known if it wasn't for the Goodell Fellas podcast. That's right. I'm going to plug our own podcast. That's wonderful.
I respect it.
And I have actually right here in my notes, I have the trade. So you were correct. You got Kuechly, Moore, and then you got Alonzo, Kiko Alonzo, and then Alec Ogletree in that order. And I haven't looked at your squad in terms of what Alec Ogletree has done. Honestly, obviously, it's kind of hard to judge Alonzo right now. He's still supposedly hurt, even though he's with the Saints. He only played like two snaps last week. I have him in the other league, so trust me, I'm trying to follow it, but there's really no information, which is just great. But yeah, I mean, DJ Moore is huge. To have a breakout candidate like him, you just obviously hope Cam stays healthy this season with him. But so with all that, I want to go ahead and I want to jump in to a brand new segment here on Goodell Fellas. I'm not sure if we'll do this every week. We might just do different segments every week, but we're going to bring maximum entertainment. So we're going to do a quick round of Would You Rather. And are you ready?
I am ready.
All right.
Hit me with your best.
All right, the first one. Would you rather get shot in the left foot or be a lifelong Dolphins fan? You get to keep the foot.
Okay, see, that was going to be my question, because I do like my left foot. I use it pretty much every day. So I think I would rather get shot in the foot, because being a Dolphins fan, that's a lifetime of misery. Shot in the foot, what's that, 6-month injury? Maybe doctors are really good at their jobs. So I would rather get shot in the foot.
And then you'd have a cool story,
yeah,
and then you could tell women, look at my scar, and pull out your foot, and they'd be like, oh, wow, you did get shot in the foot.
Yeah, but that's a lot cooler than going to a bar and saying, hey, how about them Dolphins?
I'd
rather be shot in the foot.
How about that Brian Flores?
Yeah, like, no.
All right, I respect that, and I think that I feel like that's the correct answer. The more I feel like that was a lot easier than maybe I thought it was initially. All right, now are you familiar with ghost peppers?
Ghost peppers, yes. I've seen the challenges online.
Super, super hot peppers. We actually grow them here on our balcony. Oh, they're wow. absolutely miserably hot. They're miserable. You can't eat them. They don't even taste that great. I don't get it. But, so you've never had one before?
Never, never.
So just to give you an idea, I've tried, Donnie and I each tried a little piece of one, when we one of our peppers that we grew, and my mouth was on fire for at least 10 minutes, and I didn't even eat like a full-size chunk. That's how hot these things are. Wow. And I've read online that literally what happens is your brain is telling you your mouth is literally on fire, like Jesus. The same pain you feel. So it's that hot. So that is the preparation, and I want everyone to understand that for this next Would You Rather. Would you rather eat two ghost peppers, like one, you just whole bite each one.
Gotcha.
Two ghost peppers or start Luke Falk as your fantasy quarterback for the season.
That is Pilato secret here. I am the biggest sissy when it comes to spice. I eat barbecue chips and I get tears in my eyes. And also, this is a shot at my quarterback, Aaron Rodgers. Last year, I started him all year. He crapped the bed for me. I'm starting him this year. He's crapping the bed again. So, yes, I would take Luke Falk at this point because I eat barbecue chips and I cry, and Aaron Rodgers sucks. I am looking to trade him. I don't know why I kept him. I must have been delusional. So give me Luke Falk 10 out of 10 times. Falk train.
I love that when it came to would you rather get shot or eat a hot pepper, there was no hesitation for getting shot. Shoot me. Shoot me as many times as you want. I don't want to be a Dolphins fan. But if you're going to give me a hot pepper, no. I'll tank. I'll throw it away. Give me the Jets' third string quarterback. Not even a consideration. I love it. And then, so the last one I have for you is because you am I correct on this? You're a pretty big sports bettor. You like to bet on sports.
I dabble here and there. Don't tell my parents, but yeah, I look into the lines here and there.
Yeah, I've seen you on Twitter, man. So you don't bet on sports, but hypothetically, if you did bet on sports,
right,
which is legal in the state of Pennsylvania, just saying.
Shout out.
Would you rather lose $1,000 on a sports bet, and it's public knowledge, people know it, okay. or have a famous public meltdown like the Bagel Boss guy? You know, you see that video?
Yep, short king.
Yep. Well, it's not even about the height. It's just about the video itself and the viral nature and how this guy just got ostracized for so long. Would you rather have something like that or just have the family shame of, I bet, and it can be, and it has to be like a ridiculous bet. Like you bet $1,000 on, like, we'll go back to Luke Falk. Like you bet $1,000 Luke Falk's gonna have a 5-touchdown game. Like
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I think, you know what? Random side story. I'm going to take the Bagel Boss incident because, and this is why, I downloaded the Cameo app, not a sponsor of the pod. I downloaded the Cameo app where you can like get celebrities to shout you out. He is on there charging $50 for like a 30-second video.
Dang.
Yeah. So, you know, secure the bag. If I make a video like that, I'm going to go right to Cameo, make an account, and get that money. That's what I would do. Give me the short king, the Bagel Boss for the win. That's what I'd take.
I can see it in my head right now. It's a video, and it just starts off. You're in a public setting, and you're sitting there, and you're talking about how Luke Falk is your starting quarterback because you don't want to eat any spicy peppers. It escalates when some guy starts yelling at you. He shoots you in the foot, and then bam, you're on Cameo. I'm sending you $50 every week to come on the podcast, send 30-second clips. You're big time in us. I love it.
Exactly. And who knows? Luke Falk's on the waiver wire. I have no way to confirm that, but I'm assuming he is. He might be a team member of I'm Going Quinsane by the end of this interview. Who knows?
So watch out for the waiver wire tomorrow. Luke Falk is actually going to get added. You heard it here first if it happens. I'm reporting like Schefter live on ESPN. That is amazing. Well, you know what? I have no more Would You Rathers. Is there anything else you have to get off your chest? Anything else you want to put the league on notice about?
I called my shot last year in like week two. It didn't work out. So this time I'm going to listen to myself and just say, shut up. Good luck to everybody out there, except the other members of the Pilatos. And I love this podcast and I would be happy to be back on anytime.
Oh, thank you for the kind words. Very wise words as well. And I'm sure we'll have you back on. This was a lot of fun. I think our best pod potentially ever. So, yeah, thanks to Eric for joining us. Thank you all for listening. And check us again next week when we have another guest, maybe another two guests. Who knows? This is crazy. But check us out again next week. We'll be on Spotify all season long. Thanks, and have a great night.